So we are, as we turn the corner into our new year, we are continuing with our theme, the Church Advantage. And now that we're kind of into January, I want to start getting you guys to start repeating this with me. Now, you don't have to do it this Sunday, but I'm going to kind of start expecting it. So that you've heard it a number of times. You've heard me say it, that the church is an advantage. Church is an advantage for God. Church is an advantage for us. Good job. Church is an advantage for the world around us, for others, for the people in our neighborhoods, and our schools, our workplaces. So this January, we're going to be talking about the advantage that the church has when it comes to how to view money, our view of money. Money's a big deal. We deal with finances. Every one of us deal with finances day in and day out. We're watching our bank account, or we're paying bills, or we're paying for our food, or we're paying other kinds of bills, or we're paying mortgage, we're paying, you know, you're dealing with things that your kids have. So money is something we all deal with. And the church has a distinct advantage when it comes to money because the Bible has all sorts of wisdom about money. And so this series is called, What Does God Say to the Church About Money? And so today, this is, some of you have sat through some of my money sermons. You know it's something that I enjoy the topic. I think it's great that God's Word gives us a lot of things. I'm very relaxed about it. A lot of times it's kind of a tense subject in church. But so a lot of things you've heard me talk about, we're going to be bringing up some old passages we've talked about before, kind of repackaging, and I really like the way that this series is packaged. We're going to have a lot of fun in this, a lot of practical information. So today we're talking about priorities define money management. And also want to let you guys know, this series is more tightly woven than my series normally are. I try and make it to where the series makes sense together, but each individual message is kind of a standalone. This will still work, but they're all going to make more sense together. So I encourage you, please try not to miss any Sundays. And if you do, we'll have these up on the internet, on the website. So catch up on those, because our final Sunday, we're going to be putting it all together. So today's priorities define money management. Next Sunday is that generosity and investments add value to the dollar. The Sunday after that, which is the third Sunday, is that God's establishments are made to run on the generosity of the whole. And then finally, the 26th, when we're going to put it all together, all the pieces are coming together, and it's just going to be good financial habits have to start somewhere. And so in that message, as we kind of review and look at what we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, we're going to be having a challenge, and I'll be issuing a challenge to all of us here. And that's going to be an important Sunday, a Sunday to be looking forward to, and I'm driving towards that Sunday. So today we're talking about priorities define money management. So let's talk about priorities first. In Matthew chapter 6, you know, our lives, we have many fixed resources. When I say fixed resource, I'm talking about a resource that has a definite amount, a definite figure. It's finite. There's something to be measured there, and it's what you have is what you have, like time. You have 24 hours in a day. No more, no less, no matter how much we would want to try and get another hour out of a day. You have 24 hours in a day. And we use that time, we manage that time, we build our schedules based on what is important to us. And sometimes that's a really tough truth to accept, but it's true. We manage our time, we schedule, we budget our time, we spend our time based on our priorities that are set on our core values. So if I can kind of build a visual here in midair, we've got management of, and we'll just say fixed resources, but right now just the illustration of time. Management of time is built off of priorities. So you schedule, you budget, you manage based off of priorities. Those priorities have their root in core values in our life. Whatever is a core value, we're going to build our priorities off of that, and that's going to dictate how we manage things or how we schedule or how we budget. So if it's important to us, whether consciously or we do it without even thinking about it, what's important to us, what's a value, is going to set our priorities. What's most important is going to be a higher priority. What's least important will be a lower priority. And then that is going to manage, that is going to build, we're going to build from that rather, how we manage, how we schedule, how we budget our fixed resources. So for instance, if your work is more important than your son, then you'll miss your son's baseball game to put in a few extra hours in the office. because the core value is my work's more important. It's going to show in your priorities. It's going to show in how you schedule or how you manage your time. However, if your son is more important than your work, then you're going to leave on time or leave early if you need to in order to make it to your son's game, because your core value says my son is valuable to me. He's important, so I'm going to make it to that game. And so it's a higher priority than staying for a few hours at the office. And so therefore you manage your time or you schedule or you budget in such a way that assures that you're going to be there. Now some of you are thinking, man, that's an awful strong guilt trip. Sometimes I got to stay late. If you have a core value that your son is more important, but then you've got a certain night or something's going on and you really have to stay, you have to take care of something, you've got something to do, something has to be done that day, and so you stay after work late that day where your pattern normally is to go to the baseball game, that day you stay late. It still proves the truth that you've been building your priorities based off of values, because that day your values shifted, because that day it was more important to be at work. It was more valuable for you to spend your time at work. Therefore, the priority moved from what it normally was, and you stayed at work rather than going to the game because of a value. See how that works? And sometimes that can shift off of core values, but that's what happens. If attending church is more important than your children's sporting events or getting a few extra hours of sleep, then it will have a higher priority and you'll be in church on a Sunday morning. If going to church isn't as important, it isn't as valuable to you, then it will fall in its priorities and you'll miss church to attend a sporting event, or you'll miss church to sleep in a little bit. So if you want to make changes in the way that you manage your time, your fixed resources, then the only way to change how you're going to manage is to change your priorities. And really, the priorities have to be a reflection of your values. So you got to dig all the way down to your core values if you want to see real changes happen in the way that you manage your fixed resources. You have to go all the way down to the core values, what's really important to me, and ask those questions. As you start to reprioritize, if you look at your life and you're saying, you know what, my priorities are really out of whack, you can't just reprioritize and then all of a sudden everything's all great. Some of you have tried that before and you fall back to the same patterns, even though you know in your head this is the way the priorities should work. In your heart, your value system is different, and that is ultimately going to dictate what your priorities are and therefore how you manage, how you schedule, how you budget. So if you want to change those things, you're going to have to change the core values. We have to budget our time. It's a fixed resource. We manage our money in the same exact way. It's a fixed resource. We spend our money on things that are most important to us. Some of you might say, well, no, not really, because I have to pay my mortgage, because if I don't, they'll take my house. And so I have to pay my mortgage. But you have that mortgage payment because owning a house was important to you. That was a value for you. That was important. And so you could say, well, if you downsized, then your mortgage payment would be smaller and you'd have more margin, and that would be good, that would be wise. But you don't want to downsize. Why? Because you didn't want to just own a house. You wanted to own that house. It's a value. This house is important to me. And so I will sacrifice budget because the priority of having this house is higher than the priority of having margin. And so it's based on a value. It's not just based on priorities. So it's based on a value. Some of you might say, well, you know, I would downsize. That's a smart move for me. I really would like to have some margin. I haven't lived in my house long enough to gain equity. So therefore, it's a logical decision. It makes logical, good business sense. It's still based on priorities that are based on value, because the value there is I don't want to lose money because that's valuable to me. More valuable than having margin right now. Still based on a value system. Still based on principles that are built out of a value system. So every money decision you make comes down to priorities that are based on values. Heard of Dave Ramsey, or read a Dave Ramsey quote. So a lot of you guys know who Dave Ramsey is. And he said, you wouldn't take dieting advice from someone who's overweight. So why would you take financial advice from someone who's broke? So if we can use the dieting analogy, I was once fatter than I am now, financially, if you're with me. So yes, I'm not a millionaire. So, you know, if you don't want to listen to me because I don't have credentials in my bank account, that's fine. I have some biblical knowledge, though, that I believe can help change every one of our aspects on how we handle money, how we deal with money. And it's been working for me for years, and it's just going to take many more years to undo all of the stupid decisions that I'd made and poor judgment that had happened there. So I thought that quote, you know, preparing for today's message, and I read that quote, I was like, oh, great, thanks. You know, just so Matthew chapter 6. Jesus knew this whole priority, value, order of things, and he says it very clearly in chapter 6, verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is some of the highest, the greatest wisdom, I believe, ever shared on money management. It's so true. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is about priorities and values. It's about you will manage your money based on priorities that are built off a value system. Ultimately, your budget is based on a list of things that range on what's most important, what's least important, what has the most value, and what has the least value. Whether you consciously do it or you do it without thinking, that's how you budget. That's how you spend your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Such a true, true statement. This verse is about money management wisdom. And it's in a section where Jesus is giving us advice on how to prioritize our life. A couple of verses down, we read in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That verse is not looking at an Excel spreadsheet. It's not looking at a list of numbers in black and red that resemble income and expenses in a strictly logical way. This verse is about the emotional connection we make to what we deem is more important. If God is more important in our hearts, then he'll have a higher priority. If our value places him higher, he's going to have a higher priority when we go to manage and budget. If money has a higher priority in our heart, serving a master, that's a value system. That's going to reflect in our priorities. That's going to reflect in how we manage and schedule, how we budget. He goes on to talk about people who worry about what they're going to eat or drink, people who worry about what they're going to wear. And he says, look at the birds. This is really not a good winter illustration, you know. I have to imagine that they're experiencing good weather when he shared this illustration. But look at the birds. They don't worry about food. God takes care of them. Look at the flowers of the field. They don't worry about clothes. Look how God has clothed them. Aren't you much more important to God than birds or flowers? Then isn't God going to take care of you also? And then Jesus resolves this discussion with a statement that many of us know in verse 33. He says, but seek what? First. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's a verse about prioritization. He says, seek first the kingdom, God, his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else is going to find its priority below that. But you got to put first things first. You have to prioritize. So let's take some notes. We're just going to kind of big blob of notes here real quick on all the things that we've talked about. So I'm going to pull your bulletin out, flip them over. If you've been waiting patiently, then here's your chance. The first one doesn't have any blanks in it, but I want to give it to you anyway. My priorities will dictate how I manage my money. My priorities will dictate how I manage my money. My priorities are built on decisions with emotional connections. My priorities are built on decisions with emotional connections. And that's more layman's terms for this whole thing that I've been building over here. That our value system, these emotional connections we have, that's where our priorities are going to be built on. They're decisions, but they're decisions that are based on this emotional connection, this value system that we have. Next one. One priority slot cannot be taken up by two items. We've got so many people that just don't get this. And I'm not being cruel. I'm in the same boat. We think we can have seven things tied for first place in our life. It doesn't work that way. One priority slot gets one item and that's it. You have to prioritize that way. It has to be understood that way. Seek first and then all these things will be taken care of. Jesus doesn't say seek first along with. He gives a priority. There's one slot, there's one item. Seek first God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will follow. One priority slot cannot be taken up by two items. And then the last one there, for Christians, the first priority slot is reserved for God, his kingdom and his righteousness. This wisdom was not new to Jesus or in Jesus' time. It wasn't something that just all of a sudden 2,000 years ago, God decided to share with us this money management wisdom, this amazing wisdom. It was throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament. Let's talk about first fruits in Proverbs 3:9. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Honoring God with the first fruits of my fixed resources shows that honoring him is my top priority. First fruits. Try this. Try this with time. A fixed resource. We've talked about time a little bit. Give God the first moments of your day, the first few minutes of your day. Try this out. I'm going to give you one little challenge here at the end of this message. We'll have a big challenge on the 26th. I'll give you a little one here today. And it's going to be connected to this. I'm going to wait. I'll give it to you later. But the first few moments of every day, give that to God. Give him the first fruits of your time and see what that does for your relationship with him. See what that does with how you view other people. See what that does for your work ethic, how you behave, how you treat other people at work, how you respond, how you treat customers, how you talk to people on the phone, how you go about your work. See how that changes that. See how it affects your attitude through the day. See how that affects your marriage. See how it affects your relationship with your children. See how it affects your relationship with your parents. Try it out. Give God the first fruits of your time. And see how that works. See how that works for you. Some other fixed resources. Give God the first fruits of your gifts and talents. You know, instead of thinking to yourself with your gifts and talents, I wonder how I can use this gift and talent to bring recognition to myself, to gain popularity, to get some sort of, you know, personal clout built. Or how can I best make some money off my guilt and off my guilt? You might feel guilty. Off my gift and talent. Instead, we should be thinking, how can I first honor God with this gift and talent? How can I serve God with this gift and talent? How can I expand his kingdom? How can I pursue righteousness with this gift and talent? Now, going back to the other two, is it wrong to accept compliments on your gift or talent? Like if, where did Brian Webker go? Is he around? Oh, he's skipping. Too bad. He was about to get a compliment on his talent. I can compliment Kurt back there then, since he's actually sitting in here. So, I love Brian. I'm going to have a fun time with that later. But I can say, Kurt, you did a wonderful job playing bass. It sounded great. The little slides, a little, you know, turn the beat around thing that you had going on there. That first song, that's what, he's getting it. Is that wrong for him to accept a compliment and say, thank you? Is that wrong? Not at all. But when it's first priority, that's a problem. You see the difference? Not a problem when it's a different priority. that there's a felt need to have some compliments and encourage that gift. There's nothing wrong with receiving encouragement and giving encouragement, but when that's the top priority, that's where the problem comes from. Is it wrong to make money doing what you're gifted to do? I sure hope not. I won't have to go find a job at something I'm bad at instead of doing something I'm good at and getting paid for it. That just doesn't, I mean, that's for every one of us. You should be in a job where you can use your gifts and talents and get paid for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's your first priority with the gifts and talents that God's given you, then that's a problem. Are you seeing the difference? That's the difference of prioritization. When things are out of priority, then what could be right is wrong. When things are in the right priority, what should be right is right. With me? Okay. That wasn't even in my notes. That should have been. That was good. So honor God with the first fruits of your talent, of your gifts. Give God the first fruits of your vision, the passion in your life, some other resources that we have. Give God the first fruits of the influence that you have on those around you. Give God the first fruits of your opportunities. When you have an opportunity laid in front of you, the first thought should be, how can I use this to glorify God? How can I use this for Him? And then all other things are going to fall into place after that. And we're talking about money today. How can I honor God with the first fruits of my labor? The first fruits of your paycheck, your money. Proverbs 3:9 once again says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. For us in our modern society, we would be able to read that, honor God with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your labor, of your work, your salary. So let's go and write that down. The first fruits of my wealth will go to the top priority in my life. It's truth. First fruits of my wealth will go to the top priority in my life. If God is my top priority, then it will be evident because that's where my first fruits will go. If God is not my priority, top priority, my first fruits are going to go towards something else. When you look at your paycheck, when you see that, when it gets dumped in your bank account, or when you pull out the paper paycheck, whichever way you get paid, and you look at that and you think, oh, all right, man, first $400 or first $300 is going to go towards this thing that I've been wanting for so long. Nothing wrong with that. But when it's the first fruits, it reveals what your top priority is. That can be very truth-telling to a lot of us. And I'm in the same boat here. That's tough because it reveals our value system. Not just our priorities. It reveals our value system. Where's my heart? What does my heart dwell on? Because if my heart is dwelling on God, He is my top priority, then that's going to be where the first fruits of my wealth goes to. Some people have asked me, you know, When you tithe, when you go to, and we're going to talk about tithe in just a moment, but when you tithe, when you build 10%, is that 10% before or after taxes? Kind of a funny question, and it's been asked very honestly before. And so with the understanding of Proverbs 3:9, then would that be before or after taxes? Before. First fruits. It's going to take one more note on that, and then we'll jump to the tithe. Honoring God with the first fruits of my labor shows that I'm honoring Him, shows that honoring Him is my top priority. Honoring God with the first fruits of my labor shows that honoring Him is my top priority. So let's go on to the tithe. We got a couple passages here, Leviticus and Malachi, we're going to be looking at. Another way that the Bible helps us to understand this whole idea of priorities and how priorities determine how we manage our money is found in the concept of the tithe. The tithe, a tithe is simply, it simply means 10%. Go and write that down. That's the definition of tithe. So anytime you see tithe, you can just replace it with 10%, and that's what it's talking about. The tithe. It's just gained a title. It's a word that means 10%. And we now have, we've given it a title. Leviticus 27:30. Says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to who? The Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So the tithe was understood as being already owned by God. So go on and write this down. In Leviticus 20:30, 10% belonged to God. So you wouldn't give the tithe, you would what? Bring the tithe. We've had many discussions in our worship team, and we've been trying to shape our conversation up here with you guys. And sometimes it's tough. We get into habits, and we say things that we are used to saying, even though we've been talking about some of the new ways. And one of the things, it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine because it's the psychology. When we go to our time in our service about our offering time, I've really encouraged, and the team's kind of, they've bought into this, and I've heard them at worship team meetings. They've all, you know, kind of jumped on different people and, you said take. And so, but the idea is it to not say this is a time when we take up our offering, because that means we're taking it, you know. This is a time when we give our offering. See the psychological difference there? Now, if we go even further, because this would take some explanation, it wouldn't communicate as well as give on every Sunday. But if we all understood that it's not just giving our tithe, it's giving our offering, it's bringing the tithe. Because it already belongs to God. We're not giving him something. Because a lot of times people come in with the concept there, and this is faulty psychology when it comes to finances and church giving. Is if you're truly going through and you're doing a tithe-based system, you're not giving the tithe. You're not giving, because when you're doing that, a lot of people are thinking, I'm going to give to the church what I think the church deserves. When you think about bringing the tithe, you're not giving to the church. You're bringing to God what he already owns. It's a big difference in the psychology of what goes behind that. You're not giving, you're bringing. When we say tithes and offerings, tithe is 10%, offering anything above and beyond. I'm not trying to money. I'm just explaining defined terms that we don't define very often in church. So you bring the tithe, you give an offering. Does that make sense? Based on Leviticus 27:30. So, yes, we got our notes. So let's go to Malachi. Malachi also uses this language of bring the tithe. So in Malachi 3, starting with verse 8, God also views it as bringing the tithe. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe, bring the whole 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Listen, these are bold words from God. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I'm just going to write this down. Hoarding the tithe or bringing the tithe has physical consequences because it is a reflection of how my priorities are ordered. Hoarding the tithe, holding it, hoarding the tithe, or bringing the tithe has physical consequences because it is a reflection of how my priorities are ordered. And this is kind of a twofold understanding. There's a spiritual side of it. There's a supernatural side of it. When you look at this, and I'll have people say, well, you know, Leviticus, Malachi, that's all Old Testament. We're not under the Old Covenant anymore. We're under New Covenant. And that's fair. I don't engage in arguments like that anymore. I used to, but we're not going to get anywhere. So now what I do is I just say, well, you know what? If you believe it's Old Covenant, test it. What's it going to hurt? Test it. If what God said was test me, if he doesn't mean it now, then he won't follow through on his side. But bring in the whole tithe. If you're going to test it, do it for real. Do it right. Bring in the whole 10%, first fruits, whole nine yards, first 10%, bring in the whole tithe and test God. See if he doesn't open up the floodgates of blessing on your life. I've heard story after story after story after story, and I could keep going until we were out of time saying after story after story after story of people who have experienced this. And I'm not saying give so that you can get. You give because God's a top priority. But when you put God as a top priority, he will bless you. I've heard stories about that. And if he will bless you, then it makes me also wonder if you're financially feeling cursed, is it because you're withholding the tithe? Is it because you're hoarding the tithe, because you're robbing from God? I can't answer that. I know if this side is true, it makes me think this side is true also. But test it. Test it out. Pray about it. See what God reveals to you about Malachi chapter 3. Make sure I am on yes. I'll leave that part between you and God. Because today, I'm not asking for any big giving challenges. In fact, I'm not asking you today to change any of your giving habits at all. Could we benefit from it? Absolutely. But I'm not doing it. Not this week. Because I want you guys to chew on these subjects. I want you to spend some time between you and God. I want this to be meaningful. I don't want you to just change something because the numbers in the bulletin aren't great or because we're worried about paying for heat or electric. That's not the right reason. This series is about developing the right attitude, the right understanding, the right priorities, the right value system that's going to guide how we handle all of our fixed resources, money being the key one we're talking about in this series. So I'm not asking you today at all to change. If you want to take the tithe challenge, go for it. I'm not asking for that today. Today, we have some very, very simple action steps to move us forward into this next week. So let's go and write these down. The first one, I don't think you have anything to write down. It's just reread the passages from today through the week. And here's where I'm going to throw in one little challenge based on some things we've talked about. The first fruits of your time. Plan your time this week. Wake up a little bit early. Give God the first fruits of your morning and use that time to read the passages we've talked about today. These are not big passages. If you wake up just a minute early, you can lay there in bed with your phone and your YouVersion, you know, your Bible app on your phone, and wipe your eyes a little bit and sit there and you can read Matthew chapter 6 and a few verses from chapter 6. You could read, you could just go to Proverbs 3:9, read it and think about it. Read it and think about it, then get up and go get in the shower or brush your teeth or whatever you do first. Same thing with the Leviticus verse and the Malachi verse. Spend time in those. Come back to them in the afternoon or at lunch on your lunch break or sometime through the day. Just kind of pull it up on your phone, read the verse, think about it, and then keep on going on with your day. But through the week, Monday through Friday, spend some time in the verses we've already talked about. I want them to talk to your spirit. I want God's Holy Spirit to speak to your spirit through God's holy word. Bypass me altogether. I want God to be talking to you through his word. I want you to spending time on these passages. Now, the next one is it on Saturday. So go on and write that down. What did I say? On what? Saturday. That's the day after what? Friday, the day before Sunday. Okay, so Sunday, we're going to be talking about Matthew chapter 25, 26, and 27. So on Saturday, I want you to read Matthew 25, 26, and 27. It's not a huge, you know, you're not going to have to devote a whole lot of time into that. Good job on the guitar solo earlier, by the way. Hooray. Loved it. So I was picking on you because you weren't here. I was going to give you a compliment. So Saturday, spend some time. And this, I mean, first fruits or not, if you're normally an early riser and you wake up before everyone else in your house, use that time. If you're normally a night owl and everyone else goes to bed and you've got some time normally after everyone else goes to bed, then use that time. Whatever time you've got on Saturday, or if on Saturday that, you know, half your family goes off shopping or something and you're home and you've only got, you know, one or two people around or whatever, however big your family is, spend some time, sometime Saturday, and here's where we're going to manage. You're going to practice a little bit on that. You're going to budget. You're going to schedule. You're going to set this aside as a value, so it's going to be a priority, so you're going to schedule it. You're going to manage it. So you've got 6 days. You can look at it today and say, okay, what time on Saturday is going to work best for me to set aside some time to read Matthew 25, 26, and 27 so I can be prepared for Sunday morning as we come in and we learn more about this subject. We're going to be talking about the value of a dollar when it comes to how we look at it. That's going to be fun next week. So Saturday, read Matthew 25, 26, and 27. Then throughout the week, I want you to pray that God will reveal areas and ways that he can be more of a priority in your life. Pray that he will reveal those to you. That he will reveal to you how he can be more of a priority. So what does God say to the church about money? Priorities define money management.